then we'll sing a hymn or two. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening, for the whole day, in fact, Father, for the time to spend in your presence, Lord, for life and health and strength, and for all of the brothers and sisters that are gathered here and whose heads are bowed in your presence, Father. As we do this in honor of you, Lord, and for all that you've done for us, I pray you, Lord, a blessing on us. I pray you for understanding. I pray you, Lord, for peace, for freedom just to worship and praise you. Lord, for helps, for strengths, for chastenings, Lord. I pray you too for those that are not doing well, and we're especially thankful, Father, for Andrew and for his picking up, for his whole family, his wife especially. Pray you, Lord, too for her. And Lord, for all of those that just need a wee touch from heaven, for Christine, for Fiona, Lord, for hospital visits, for doctor's tests. It's not the best time of year to be sick, but Lord, I pray you please that you would keep many, many people out of hospital at this particular time. Pray for those that are suffering because of this flu epidemic that's doing the rounds. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would use it to speak to those souls about their eternity. More than that, Lord, I pray you for a time of refreshing in these doors. I'm thankful, Lord, for the walls that got put up, more than capable of standing up to that wee storm. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would just keep this building standing. Thank you for everybody that pitched in, Lord, for all the monies, for all the prayers, most importantly for the labours and the ingenuity, and Lord, for the desire to do it. Bless us now, we pray, Father, and just lead us and guide us in the service. We ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Alrighty. I think our first request was that we have a 70.
No, 26.
Pardon?
26.
Yeah, 26, because he lives. Let's take a turn there in the wee books. The wee black books, because he lives. Hoping and praying that it all goes smoothly. It seems to me sometimes this music machine just has a wee mind of its own. It's way it's behaving itself this evening.
Thank you.
thing. Let's switch over to the big books. Big books, 132, 132, never alone. Amen.
Peace out.
tonight?
Psalm chapter 21. King shall joy in thyself strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation and greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou sayest a crown of pure gold on his head. He hath thy flee, and thou givest it to him, even in thy days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation, honour and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever, thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back. When thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strength against the face of them, be thou exalted, Lord, in thy own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the Bible readings this morning, this evening. Very much appreciated. I know it takes a wee bit of get up and go to the front and to do that bit of reading, but bear in mind, anything you do up here, you do in front of people that love you and want the best for you, and we want for you to learn and grow. It's that time of the service. I'm going to say I've got the green card out. It is the green card. It's the Christmas green card. If you have any prayer requests or anything that you'd like for us all to pray about or give thanks for, let us know. Go ahead there, Pat.
Pray for Richard Wallace.
Richard
Wallace. He's the Lally staff, Tully Alley there.
Oh, goodness.
Richard Wallace, what
day is
it?
He's in the gardens in Tully
Alley.
Oh,
okay. I know,
but Richard Wallace.
His father's Jim. No, I'm not Richard Wallace. But...
You're nice to do
that. Is he?
Yeah.
Bad way then.
Yeah.
Please were out door to door yesterday.
Oh, goodness. Everywhere, no matter where there's men, there's going to be bother. It doesn't matter whether they're using a stick, a knife, or a gun, there's going to be bother when there's people about. Please do pray for Richard Wallace, and especially his family at this time, if you would. Amen. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
I have a thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's ablation worked.
As you know, Pat Hain went in for an ablation on her arteries there months ago, wasn't it? And they had her back in for a checkup, and seemingly it has done the job. So we're glad about that. Amen. Just had David there reminding me on the way in that about Andrew and Julie, whom we had the was it that last Wednesday we met up a wee bit earlier? Was that only
last Sunday?
Sunday was it?
Last Sunday.
Time flies. So he's doing a bit better. He was able to talk to David on the phone there. Was that yesterday or today?
Friday night.
So
Friday night he spent maybe 25-30 minutes on the phone. I had to keep telling him to stop talking.
Well, David, all I can say is if someone was able to hold their own on the phone with you for half an hour, their lungs must be working okay and are on the road to recovery.
Well, as they say, I had to tell them to be quiet, they kept praying for them. So but then because
it's good news.
He didn't phone for nothing.
Nope. Sometimes
he phoned
just
for prayer. And Pastor, it was great. Appreciate what he done last week for us, and most grateful even from Julie. Julie sends her love and everything to you for doing let us do what we did do. And she's more than happy with outcome she hears from her prayer. She is a strong believer herself,
good.
And she believes in prayer. I have a daughter, and I think I told you last week, Aaron's mother was in a mental hospital. My mum, she has been released on Friday. She's talking cleaner, and they have let her out, but they're coming and they check her 3 or 4 times a day. But God's good, and if we can just keep her in prayer now, especially at this time over Christmas. I won't get here next weekend because I'm going over to her.
Mm.
So if you can keep it in prayer, please.
Okay. Certainly be praying for your wee girl. Amen. Any other prayer requests? Any other thanks? Yes, Steve?
I'd like to give thanks to the Lord for giving me passing the few enduring attacks I've had this week.
Right.
They are getting a bit stronger, tiring now. But the good Lord is sustaining me, strengthening me all the time.
Okay.
Certainly. So please pray for me, please. I need all the prayers I can get.
Yes, indeed.
We
will do. We will do. Okie doke. Wednesday evening is our first official, unofficial gathering together for a wee bit of food and fellowship. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, we'll be here at the church tidying and clearing and dumping and this, that, and the other. And I think Norman's even coming back to do a bit of beautifying on the inside of the church. So I get to do the rough work. Norman does the... I would be like the hip guy, and Norman would be like the cosmetic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. He makes everything look nice. I just hit and hammer and bang and saw. So maybe that cuts a bit too close to the home there, doesn't it? But amen. Please do pray about that. Looking forward to it. It'll be nice to open that door again in the church. It's been a while. Things have been a bit crazy. So please do pray about that. If you put your name down for anything, don't forget to bring it. Otherwise, it'll be I think it'll be corned beef, and it'll be a bit less of that. Noodles, tinned carrots. I think there's a tin of hot dogs, and there's smash and pasta. And do you know what? We could survive off of it, and we could certainly enjoy the crack. But I would far rather have things like turkey and Christmas pudding and stuff like that. But did somebody have their hand up there a second?
Yeah, no pot noodles, please.
I am going to get a wee pen and I'm going to write 2023 on the wall. You'll never know, and it'll taste fine. You'll be grand.
It would be good that I did, I tell you.
Yes, indeed. Right, unless there's anything else, we're going to have another wee word of prayer. Okay, well, if you wouldn't mind, brother, would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, thank you for this night, Lord, and thank you for keeping us safe and secure and bringing us to church, Lord. We have people on the road, people traveling, keep them safe and well, Lord. And Lord, help them reflect upon their eternal situation, Lord. Save those who are lost, especially those who turn up to churches, Lord, and restore the backslider, especially through churches for this land, Lord. Lord, pray for our land, Lord, give us wisdom, Lord, especially wisdom to the leaders in politics and politicians, Lord. Give Boris Johnson, bring him down to earth, Lord, and deal with him, Lord, and save his soul, Lord, and give him wisdom to enact godly laws, Lord, and to bring this country out of the abyss of corruption and etc., Lord. Allow us, Lord, with the organization we support, Lord, the foreign lands, support the foreign lands with the release of the national, help them to promote that cause, Lord, and to expound the people being persecuted throughout the world for Jesus Christ's sake, Lord. And pray for the persecuted church and make them aware that they're not alone, Lord, and give them the gift that they need, Lord, and help them survive and deliver them, keep them, bless them, Lord, and love them as well, Lord. Pray for doors, Lord, helping them to promote that cause, Lord, throughout the UK, throughout the world, Lord, and bless them also and give them supply their every need. Pray for kids for schools, help those children in Tanzania, Lord, help all the children support them, Lord, and help them, Lord, and help them. Help them give them a food up, Lord, but also, Lord, most importantly, Lord, tell them about Jesus, Lord, and Lord, use the Holy Spirit to convict them and save them from their sins, Lord, and save them mightily and powerfully by the blood of the Lamb, shedding to Calvary's cross for them and for us, Lord. Bless this night, Lord, with Christian Taylor as a child, Lord, help him as a woman in the States, Lord, and deliver from any trouble and provide for him and keep him safe as well, Lord. And with those people who were killed in storms, we're here, Lord, and also in the US, Lord, tornadoes, Lord, might help save people yet, Lord, and stop people from dying, Lord, and Lord, and convict people of our sins, Lord, and show them that our mighty God that is eager to save those that are lost, Lord. We ask this night, give Mark the touch of the gospel, touch of the gospel, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and Lord, may we truly bless, Lord, and help us, Lord, in our daily walk, both now and for the week to come and for the weeks to come as well, Lord. We ask in case we teach Christ again. Amen.
Yeah.
Mark, just before you went there, I forgot. That's I sent the communique from Open Doors. The children in Afghanistan, they're no longer trying to convert them. Instead, they're killing them. They're trying to wipe them all out.
Yes, indeed. Well, unfortunately, that is down to the American president right now.
It does.
He is the single biggest promoter and funder of terrorism in the world. President Biden is a lying, cheating devil. As the Lord said, he is of his father, the devil.
I'll try and get a print off of that and bring it out. The requested urgent prayers.
Please do pray about that. You can be sure of one thing. When ISIS stepped in there, they were not coming in, and they were not being tolerant of homosexuality, and they were not being tolerant of Christianity, and they were not being tolerant of blacks and whites and all these other. They were just taking them up to the top of a roof, and they were firing them off, or they were swinging them from a lamppost. And so much for all of their Muslim. Islam is a religion of peace, malarkey. That is just complete and utter cobblers. All these false religions are always religions of peace whenever they're in a minority. Whenever they're in a majority, they always show their true colours. Please do pray for Afghanistan and the people that ended up stuck there.
I just thank the one remember, I tell you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Right, we are back to singing. Let's do 432. We'll have a wee hint of Christmas in the little town of Bethlehem. Sorry, 434. I'll get there. I'll start reading the right numbers.
Bye.
Pastor would like for us all to sing.
The Black Book Mark.
Go forward.
76.
76.
We're not singing that one this morning. Are we allowed to sing that twice in one day?
Okay, good enough. Right,
77.
We sang that too.
76 it is, once in Royal David City. I'm good with that. Thankfully, there's no such law about singing good hymns twice in a day. Definitely not. I am joking when I say those things. Thankfully, there's no politically correct or hymn counting police in the. Well, there isn't in the congregation, are there? That's good. The song wasn't, but there you go. We're in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'd like to speak about a piece of coal. Jeremiah chapter 1, there's only 19 verses in it, we'll read them all. Amen. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord God. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is towards the north. And the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one's throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee.
Amen.
Amen. There are a few verses there from verses 4 through to verses 9 or 10. And we're not going to read them all just yet. But we're speaking on a piece of coal, and or many pieces of coal. And we're taking it from the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, for wherever a church door is open, wherever folks are gathered together, Lord, and the reading and the studying, and Lord, lifting up of prayers in each other's presence and in your presence, Lord, and clinging to your many precious promises of comfort and strength and wisdom, I pray you, Lord, minister to us. Please, Lord, I pray you, save lives in this bad weather. Save souls more importantly. And edify us, Lord, as we spend this time in your word. Thank you for loving us. We're mindful, Lord, of Andrew, of David's wee girl. Lord, of Colin's granddad, Paddy. Lord, of the Lamb family. Of Christine. Of Fiona. Lord, of all of those, Steve and Pat too, Lord, of all of those that are sick, are cast down, are suffering from illness, Lord, I pray you, if there's no healing to be had right now, Lord, I pray you for grace and wisdom, for a reduction of pain. I pray you, Lord, that you could be seen through all of their troubles. I thank you, Lord, that you were there for Job in the midst of all of his bothers, and he clung to you. I pray you, Lord, the same sense for us. We love you and thank you, and we pray your company this evening, Lord. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Might take a little bit of time till you get to see the reason for the title being the piece of coal, but I'm sure you'll get there. I'm sure you'll get there. Does anyone ever remember, was it Gay Byrne used to do the Christmas show on, was it a Friday night or a Saturday night? And they'd say, and there's one for everybody in the audience. I feel a bit like that tonight with the potatoes, but even those spuds lantern has actually worked along with the meeting for this evening with the message title, and I hope this is a help to you. Verses I'd like to think about specifically is the ones where the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, even as a young man, and informing him that this was Jeremiah, this was always going to be Jeremiah's lot, especially if he walked and talked with the Lord, that he knew him before he was formed in his mother's womb, knew him before he was delivered. Before he was delivered, God knew that he was going to be ordained to be a priest to the people. He was going to be a preacher and a prophet, not just to the children of Israel, but to all nations. And here we have him this evening ministering to us. And he also said, don't be worrying about being an eloquent speaker. People have had eloquent speakers for so long that sometimes they wouldn't know the truth if it came with a label and directions on how to use it. They're so used to listening to these silver-tongued devils spin them a yarn, make it sound nice, and make everybody happy, believe in a lie. God said, I made you, I made your mouth, I made your tongue. He says, even touched his mouth, and says, and I put my words in your mouth. And I love that, because that is the repetition, the forerunner of the repetition of that very promise, that the Lord gave to each and every soul that loves him and is prepared to stand up and to speak out. I'll put my words in your mouth just when you need them. It will not be you that speaks, but it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. More than that, and he said, now that I've loaded you up, I've put my words in your mouth. So there's a bit of divine inspiration. I provided everything and I've set a path for you to walk on. Now go and tell everybody. And don't be afraid of what they say. And they're even going to come against you. Don't be afraid of that either. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news. They need to hear, my people especially, they need to hear the trouble's coming for them. And if they don't get themselves right, trouble is going to find them. And trouble is going to be their very good companion for a very bad, long time. It's not a pleasant lot whenever you have to tell people, especially people that you love, that you're a sinner, that you are in danger of eternal judgment, or should I say you're in danger of judgment and eternal damnation and torment, and that you would need to get yourself right with God, especially to those around you that love you. But even more so in this day and age, when we tend to put people on pedestals that know nothing else other than how to kick a ball better than somebody else, or how to repeat a bunch of words off a page better than somebody else. And yet we put them up on pedestals and we seem to think that there's something special about them. I was thinking of poor old Jeremiah. And I was thinking about the lot that the Lord had left for him. I got to thinking about, what if Jeremiah had said, Lord, I really don't fancy that. I want to be popular. I want a good job. I want lots of women. Drugs. Excuse me, that's all my singing and shouting and growling earlier on today. And I want to have my own YouTube channel. I'll take a glass of water. And I want to go a different way. And then immediately the Lord said, we already covered that in Jonah. That doesn't go so well for Jonah. Jeremiah decided to do what the Lord said. He was called the weeping prophet, and you may recall that there was at one point that the Lord was referred to as Jeremiah reincarnated, if that's the right way of putting it, resurrected from the dead, because he had the same passion for his people, but he was also not afraid to speak to people in authority. He was not afraid for his own life. He knew the times and the places of his life, and he knew that it was going to come a time whenever he would go to the cross. And it wasn't any time that he was dealing with Herod or Caesar or Pilate for that matter. At least not for a few years. And Jeremiah decided just to go and do it. We know that he preached. And we know that he pointed many, the whole nation, back to God. But we also know that people have their own ideas. Even with the words of God that have been recorded before the book of Jeremiah, a lot of people still have their own ideas. They don't like this thought of sitting in church still without singing for more than 15 minutes. My goodness, I'm not even through the introduction in 15 minutes. And yet, back in the day, I think it was it Nehemiah or Ezra, said they read the book of God for a quarter part of the day. For 3 hours. No? Quarter part. What? Might have been 4 or 5 hours. They read the word. How would you fancy that? I don't think I would fancy it. I think my voice would definitely be gone. But I'd only have to do it once in the week. I'd be certainly game to give it a shot. We could get through at least a couple of the Gospels. We could do that. The thing about it is, God doesn't command us to be doing these things. God doesn't demand that we do these things. God says to us all the things that are in this book, not to make him better, is to make us better. Is to give us a better chance. Is to give us a better ability to see the world, the flesh, and the devil coming, tripping us up, and how to avoid it, how to step off to one side. How to walk past the world, the flesh, and the devil instead of running carelessly. How to be in a different place than where all of that trouble was taking place. I don't know, what time was that young fellow stabbed down in Tully Alley?
12:15. Yeah. Just across the street.
That's awful. Yeah. You will find, sadly, that most trouble in this world happens after sometime between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. when sensible people should be in their own homes, in their own beds, and maybe a few Christians should be at the foot of their beds praying for them. It's all what goes into a person. Everything that goes into a person is going to come out of the person. The Lord said to the disciples one day as they were on the boat, he said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they were all going, we forgot our lunch again, didn't we? We forgot our lunch. And Jesus says, "I'm not talking about lunch. I'm talking about the things that they teach you. These things will affect how you react to things in the world." Now, I have heard politicians, for instance. Politicians are quite prominent in our lives right now. They're making a real hash of them. But I have heard politicians saying, "Oh, what I believe will have nothing to do with my politics." They're blasted liars. That's what they are. Blasted liars. Heretics. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought about the politicians that we have come across. And we have Bojo, Boris Johnson, a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar, and he's running the country. How's about that? He abandoned his wife, and I don't know if he has any children in a previous marriage, and shacked up with another woman. And then he's in the process of trying to hide, quote, steal £2 million to fix his little flat. This is the guy that we're supposed to be trusting to look after our country, and he won't keep his promise to God and to the woman he pledged his troth to. You know what? Maybe we ought to look a bit closer to home. I don't know much about our politicians at the moment. I have 20p in my pocket, and that's about as much as I would give for any of their views, political or otherwise. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. I've been living in this country my whole life, and I have yet to come across one politician that has made a difference, other than to string things along, make a whole bunch of coin, cha-ching, and let the people be damned. That is our politicians for us. They could have cleared it up. If their interest was peace, they could have sat down and said, you know what, we need peace in this island. Let's stop the fighting and let's put all of our efforts instead of into criminality, let's, instead of burning somebody's house down, let's go in and cut their grass, paint their hall, fix their backyard. Why can't we do that? We've got an army of young fellas, and they're ready and raring to do something with all the boundless energy they have. They could have fixed it. Whenever there's trouble, someone is always making money. And they had to learn that from somewhere. They just weren't born up in Altnagelden. They didn't hand a Republican notebook out to Roman Catholic mothers and a Loyalist notebook out to Protestant mothers. Those little people had to learn that stuff. They were fed that stuff day in and day out until they were primed and ready to go, and off they went. If we were to look at the carrying-ons across the border, now I don't know much about the current bloke or woman. Which one is it? But I know the last one was Leo Varadkar.
It's me, Home Martin.
Right.
Yes.
But the last one was Leo Varadkar.
I think they're sharing it.
And I honestly don't care. But he was an out-and-out homosexual. Broke the first law that God put in the Bible. Go forth and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And his lifestyle means he can't do that. He won't do that. And surely his views will not flavour his decisions in the country. But about, what, 5-6 years ago? Was it that long ago? Goodness. Monica and I were going to America and they were having a vote for abortion. And one of the most liberal abortion rulings in the world. I don't know if it goes quite as far as killing children after they're delivered, but there's plenty of places that do. Surely, what a man or a woman believes does not affect what they do, and certainly wouldn't in politics. Goodness, what liars. Promoted gay marriage? Nothing would do him but that he would have men marrying men and women marrying women. Goodness gracious me. Aunt Monica, just in case you're feeling left out, we would like to address the USA as well. Might as well hit the North and the South and our friends across the Atlantic.
Don't forget England.
We've already done them.
England
is so bad they couldn't even leave Northern Ireland alone, and nothing would do them, but they would force us to adopt homosexual marriage and abortion too. Dirty, lying murderers, and they will pay for that in years to come. But America's already beaten us to the punch. Like we already mentioned. Certainly, we can't have conservatives or Christians running in politics, because what they believe will affect what they do. And we can't have that. Heard somebody say one time that evil is not the opposite of good. Evil is just the absence of good. And whenever you take everything that's good and proper out of the way, people, I'm surprised that the money doesn't spontaneously combust in the hands of all of those Christ rejectors, because it says in God we trust on it, doesn't it? I'm surprised it doesn't just burst into flames in their hands. We have a man that doesn't know his left hand from his right hand, who under instruction left upwards of what, 80 billion in US Army hardware, top-of-the-line stuff in the hands of Muslim terrorists, and re-equipped ISIS. And now we have Steve bringing us news that Afghanistan is hunting down and killing little children that won't convert to Christianity. We already know they won't let the little girls go to school. We already know that they have hung many collaborators, many people that wanted their country to be better than having a Muslim warlord running over it. So we got the American president involved. He said, here, take all this money, take all this weaponry, kill whoever you like, we're leaving. Last guy out gets the lights. He is one of the most wicked, an adulterer and a fornicator. That is Joseph Biden. A wicked, wicked man who is doing his level best to ruin the society in the United States, just like Joe Biden, Varadkar, and his hangers-on, and our own politicians here. All of our problems could be sorted out if those guys just pulled their finger out and decided to do what they were called to do up in Stormont tonight. What goes in? What you consume affects you. And it affects you in more ways than you would quite possibly believe. Unless, of course, you want to be a Bible-believing Christian in politics, in which case you'll have every single person laughing on your back trying to pummel you into the ground with no mercy whatsoever, but that's neither here nor there. One man that believes there's no God and we might as well eat, drink and be merry for tomorrow we die has no problem being out drinking and smoking and doing drugs or hopping to a different bed every night, gambling, fighting, robbing people, being cheeky. Some people have no problem doing that. Another man, he might be out late a couple of nights in a week, maybe on a Wednesday night, a Sunday night, and that'll be it. He'll be away home to his bed on a sensible night. And really, you know, the way we live our lives is just like a wood-burning stove. Whatever we put into it, that's what we're going to get out of it. And we need, if you're going to light a fire, you're going to have your stove sending out heat, boiling water, cooking whatever it is you want to cook on it. You need a flame and you need fuel. And those are the two things that the Lord has given us. But flame and a fuel is no good. You can have flame over there and a fuel over there and you're still not going to warm you up. You need them put in the proper place, in a steel container, in this case a wood burning stove. And it needs to be carefully nurtured. And then with little sticks and then bigger sticks and bigger sticks and logs and then coal. And then that will start pumping out the heat and you can do just whatever you want. You can sit and warm your hands on it. You can dry your clothes on it. You can do your toast on it. You can boil your soup on it. You can do whatever you like on it. You can warm a whole house on it. But it all depends on what you put on it. Now, the start of the service, I said, the title was, anyone remember? Piece of coal?
Mm-hmm.
If you mention a piece of coal to children at this time of year, they start to get worried. Because they're immediately thinking of being, oh, have I been naughty instead of been nice? Is Santa only going to leave me a bit of coal? There might come a time a year or two down the line you'd be glad to get a bit of coal at Christmas. But thankfully, we're not there just yet. If I was to ask you, given our current circumstances, and I mean, sorry, our current season, how often would you like heat in your house? Honestly, we would have to say, I would like it every day, at least for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Even whenever we were, Norman and myself, were working down here, and Colin too, The back door was open, the wind was howling through, and we were in our three layers and trying to make sure our cups of tea actually stayed warm for longer than 10 or 15 minutes in vacuum cups, right? And the wind howling around, and we're grand. Because we're moving and we're insulated ourselves. But it's always nice whenever you stop of an evening and you come in to feel a blanket of warm air meeting you at the door every day. And on those days, whenever we're not out and about, running up and down a ladder, swinging a hammer, whatever it is that we're doing, it's nice to get out of your bed into a warm house, is it not? Of course it is. Every day. And so we load the fire every day, or we press the button on the boiler every day. Whichever way we work it, there's a flame burning some fuel in a metal container that's spreading the heat and the joy around the house. Every day. So taking that modern day parable and bringing it up to date and making it a little bit more contemporary and sort of dovetailing in with the bag of spuds that we have to give away before the evening's out. Who here likes to eat every day? Who likes to eat multiple times? That's me. I'm going for at least four times in the day. And maybe with a cup of tea in there as well somewhere. If you only ate once in the week, I'm afraid you might be reserving yourself a room up in Altmacelvin before too long. You wouldn't last very long. You know where I'm coming from. You know where I'm going to, don't you? We want to stay warm. We light our fire every day. If we want to stay healthy, these bodies, we eat every day. But if we want our characters, if we want our lives to be pleasing, if we want the things that we do to be pleasing to God, we need to load up every day. We need to, what was it Jesus said? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're none of me. We're not talking about vampires or cannibals or zombies. For some of our maybe more modern listeners in. We are talking about consuming the very word of God and spending time in his presence every day. Because I can guarantee you that if you don't take care about the way you live your life, Christian, the devil is watching you. How do I know that? Well, in the words of the little children's song, because the Bible tells me so, your adversary and my adversary, the devil, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That soul that never listened to the sermon, that soul that never read that portion of scriptures, that soul that never spent the time on their hands and knees in the presence of God, easy meat. All you're doing is feeding the devil. The only person that's getting a free meal then is the devil, certainly not you. How do you think all those little gazelles that go around the outside of the herd, which ones do you think the lion goes for? Is it the big strong one in the middle that's leading the herd? No, it's not. It's the wee weak ones around the sides, the slow ones, the ones that's not paying attention. And friends, whenever we are not paying attention, we become that easy meat. We become like the fire that has not fed fuel, lukewarm and then cold. We become like the soul that isn't eating, weak. We become powerless. And eventually, we get to liking it like that. Like 2 years ago, in the hospital, I hadn't eaten for like 4 or 5 days. And whenever I got into hospital, I honestly couldn't care if I ate or not. I didn't mind drinking, but I really had no appetite, and I was happy for it to be like that. And I had to force myself to eat some of their lovely minestrone soup. Thank you, Will. I renewed my acquaintance with it there, with a tin of it out the back. And Norman had the spring vegetable. I had the minestrone, or the minestrone. just to remind me of my visit in the big house there a couple of years back. You can get to liking or to being used to being away from God. You and me, we can get used to anything. We can get used to, if push come to shove and there was a disaster and your houses were destroyed, I can guarantee you would get used to sleeping on that floor tonight. If you had nowhere else to be, if you had nothing else to call your own, you would get used to eating the out-of-date noodles out of the shelf if there was no other food. If Tesco's was under 100 foot of water or a couple of tons of rock, and you would say, man, those are the best noodles I have had in an age. And I'd be saying, now those are the most beautiful sausages I have had coming out of a tin that's best before date was 2020. We can get used to anything. But why should we get used to low standards? Why should we be like the nominal church attenders that grind their teeth through a 25-minute sermon? They wouldn't survive in Bethel. They don't even know half the hymns or can sing them in automatic pilot because they're the same hymns that's sung every week or every year, and they've sung the same ones for 50 years. Why should we get used to weak and watery and empty? Why should we get used to that when it is within our grasp and within our ability to be better Christians? I've already promised you that you're getting spuds. If you want them, if you go home tonight without spuds, do not go home and say, Mark didn't give me any potatoes. If you go home without potatoes tonight, it's your choice, everyone except Will, because I'm sure he has a bag of potatoes already. It's your fault, not mine. They were delivered to my hands. I was instructed to give them to the folks in the church. I am carrying out my instructions. If you go home tonight without them, it's your fault. If you go home tonight after hearing this message, and your Christian life keeps going on the slow, gradual, hardly noticeable incline down, and down and down and down, and eventually you get tired of being reminded as you come to Bethel that your Christian life's going down and down and down, and you need to do something to make it go up and up and up. That's your fault. It's not my fault. I would like to think if someone sat a steak dinner in front of you, that it wouldn't survive very long, given a knife and fork. I would like to think that a task that is delivered to your feet, or put in your hands by the Lord God Almighty, would not go undone for very long, because you hopped, skipped, and jumped to make sure it was done the way God wanted it done. I would like to think if anybody goes home tonight and has a cold house, I am hoping and praying, because when do you hear this? We have, this is a 13 or 14, nearly a 14-year-old stove sitting in the house. And we have had to replace the fireproof string around the side, because otherwise the air just goes in every way. And on a night like that, the wind just sucks the wind up through it and the fuel burns out in no time at all. And I'm praying that the couple of wee lumps of coal that I put on it will be enough to keep. Give me some red coals whenever I get home so I can throw more fuel on it. But for anybody that has to go home and wants some heat in the house, hope and pray you're able to press that button. This morning, we read in the book of Job. You've got your Bible with you. Turn to Job chapter 19 with me just for a moment. Job chapter 19, verse number 25. This verse has really stuck with me. It's a common verse. You should know it. Job 19 and 25. This is like a little nugget of prophecy. Of global prophecy. Smack dab in the middle of a man's suffering. And I did say I was going to send you home with a lump of coal tonight. Here it is. This will fuel your soul for days. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
Amen.
I have told you where the coal is. Now, Job 19 and 25, and you better be here next week. We are all going to close our Bibles this time next week, if I remember, and I will. And we are all going to say Job 19 and 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter days. Almost.
Oh, that's okay.
See, I told you, it's slippery. We're going to do it next week. First thing, that gives you 7 whole days to hammer that into your brain. And don't be anybody here saying you can't do it. This is me giving you, your soul, something that will fire it up and keep it going for years to come. And you might even find, hold on a wee second, that was really cool. I was able to learn that verse, and it's given me something to chew upon. Even something to think upon in my bed instead of the stupid thoughts the devil sends me away. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it a friend. You know, like little kittens. One kitten's hard work. Always get 2 or 3. They entertain themselves. You might even think, I'm going to give it another couple of verses. But this is my challenge to you. This is the lump of coal, the lump of spiritual coal that I am passing your way. And challenging you to load into your furnace, your heart, and your mind. And we will repeat it next week. And you might think, I thought I was finished with learning stuff whenever I left school. If you think that, you're in dire straits, and I'll tell you that right now. There's a day when you can stop learning. And that's the day you stand in glory with your new body and a new heart and a new mind. And then you'll be thinking, Lord, tell me everything. I want to learn it all. We will never stop. It's a good thing to keep going. But that is your lump of coal for tonight. It is what is going into your soul. And that lump of coal, that single Bible verse rattling around in your head, is going to ping off all of the other Bible verses where the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And whenever you're thinking about that, it'll ping off another Bible verse where the Lord said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And as even as you think that, you'll be thinking of that precious promise where the Lord said, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them everlasting life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And all the multitude of Bible verses that will be literally set on fire by that verse that you are jamming in between your ears. And that will work miracles in your heart and mind. That will give you peace and power. And you will be able to share that with another soul before you even realize. My gift to you this year is a lump of coal. Well, at least my first gift. The second one will be some spuds. And who knows what will be in the sock come the 25th of December. That's my message to you this evening. Thank you for your good time and attention. We're stopping there, and we will close with a wee song. I will take a request if somebody has one. If not,
as the storm passes by, is a good one, brother. It passes by.
119, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
That'll do. 119, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
till the storm passes by. 119. Sound pretty good, you talk. You pray and close the gate for us.
Thanks, Steve.
Blessed Father, we give thanks for all that we have done and that you have given us for this week, Lord. The strength and the ability to be able to hold our faith with you, Lord, and the words that you give us to speak to those who are in need, Lord. I ask and pray, Lord, that you just bless us all, Lord, as we go our different ways. Let your Holy Spirit be with us, Lord, and the message that we have learned tonight, that we will take it with us and try to apply it to our lives, and to remember that verse. Oh, Lord, I give thanks to you for all